Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, Pastor Greg Barr continues his sermon series, United. This morning's message, United by Honor, based on scripture found in Romans 12, 10 and Philippians 2, 1 through 4. Now from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, here's the Sanctuary Choir and Church Orchestra with We Are the People of God.
As I prepared for this week's message, I spent some time looking at social media because I figured where else can you get your get an idea of the mindset of America than on social media? And so here's some of the highlights that I found this week. The congresswoman is a complete idiot. How she keeps getting elected is beyond me. Now, in fairness, this sentiment seems to go across gender and political party. And is a common refrain, a sentiment shared by many. The only reason people are against Trump is because they're racist. Well, I didn't really understand that one, but the writers seemed to be very convinced that this was true. Kellyanne Conway gets destroyed over Trump executive orders. Two things to note here. One, Kellyanne Conway is a very popular topic on social media, both by those who feel she's doing an outstanding job and by those who feel she needs to find a different profession. Also, this idea that someone gets destroyed in a televised debate or a conversation with somebody else is a big thing on social media. The opinion of this so-called judge, which essentially takes law enforcement away from our country, is ridiculous and will be overturned. That's a lot to get into 140 characters, by the way. But he is the tweeter-in-chief, I think. Now, the words snowflake and safe place seem very, very big. I don't know really where it came from. I'm thinking, Susan Harmon, your work has to be sweeping across the country for safe place to be taking hold in the vernacular. No matter what your source is, someone is going to refer to it as fake news in the past 3 weeks or so. And as comment threads lengthen in regard to any controversial topic, the likelihood that someone suggests that another person just go ahead and kill themselves seems to rise exponentially. Well, all in all, social media does have many benefits, but on the other hand, there are some difficulties that it raises in our culture. One of which is that it seems to give people the sense of being able to say whatever they want to say, things that they wouldn't normally say to another person face to face, but hiding behind some screen name, feel that they can let loose with whatever their mind has in it. We're in this message series called United. We're talking about, is there hope for unity, even in 2017, in this divided world in which we live? And if you look at polls, if you look at news, you realize that it seems a daunting challenge. Just the past week or so, a new Reuters poll has been released. They did a poll of Americans between Christmas Day and Inauguration Day to take the temperature of America. And what they discovered was a bit concerning. The 39% of respondents say that they argue with family members or friends over the issue of politics. And the interesting thing is that that's up 6% since the election. Normally after an election, those numbers start trending downward. The height of political debate goes up just before the election, and then things start trending downward. But in this case, the tension continues to rise after the election itself. 16% say that they've stopped talking to a family member or a friend because of the election. 13% say that they've ended a relationship because of the election. Perhaps you saw the news story this week about Gail McCormick. She's a 73-year-old in Washington State. She and her husband of 22 years are getting a divorce. She voted for Clinton. He voted for Trump, and they can't stand the betrayal in their marriage. And so they're calling it quits because of a political disagreement. So what can we do? Well, honestly, one thing that many of us could do is take a break from social media, but we have to do more than that. Last week, we talked about the power of love, that love has the power to bring people together, even who would be divided by other things. That God, we talked about how God loves us. We talked about how God's love transforms people. We talked about Jesus' command to love one another, even as he loves us. And that the idea of love, the reality of love, is more powerful than hate or anything else that could divide us. And this week, I want to talk about honor. Paul tells us in Romans 12, verse 10, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Now, to honor something means to hold it in high regard, to hold it in high esteem, even to stand in awe of it at some point, but to realize its great value. And so if we were to bring in a rare antique or some rare musical instrument and we were to hold it up, a Stradivarius, let's say, for our friends on this side of the world, it would be something that perhaps none of us have ever seen. And we'd go, oh, wow, look at that. If some famous person were to walk in, some famous actor or public figure, you might look over and say, oh, and then tap the person next to you and just kind of point toward them. If you've been in a courtroom, just before the judge enters, the bailiff might say, please rise, the Honorable Judge Smith presiding, and everyone stands in honor of his or her honor, right? To recognize the judge's importance in the courtroom. Well, the idea here is that perhaps that's the way that we need to treat each other. In just a few minutes, we're going to honor Officer Doug Curtis for 3 decades of service to our community. But in the book of Romans, Paul says that's how we're supposed to treat each other. To recognize the great value that's in every person that we see. The great value that is in us, this song, this idea that we just heard about, this idea that you are God's treasure, that you are precious to God, and not just you, but everyone else as well. So if we were to live like we really did believe that, what would it look like? To help us think about that just a little bit, we're going to go to another one of Paul's writings, to one of his letters to the Philippian church, the church of Philippi. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 2. And you might want to find your way there. And as you do, let me just give you some background. The church of Philippi seemed very important to Paul. He called it at one point his crowning glory. Paul started the church in a visit to Philippi probably in 52 AD. And over some short period of time, it became very important to him. He grew to love the people there like they were family. And so now Paul is writing this letter back to the church, and he's doing so from a Roman jail. He's thinking of them and wants to communicate his love to them, but also now his concern, because he's been hearing some reports that have come back from Philippi that cause him deep concern. First, there's a lot of persecution and pressure coming at them from the outside. And then also some false teachers have come into the community, and they're trying to pull people away from the faith. But all of the trouble isn't on the outside, though. There are also issues going on inside the church. Two church leaders, Euodia and Syntyche, have been at odds. They've been butting heads. And the conflict between them was beginning to spill over and affect the entire congregation. And so Paul is writing this letter to the church in part to plead for church, for unity, for harmony within the church, and talk about how they can make that happen. And so with that in mind, let me read to you his words, beginning chapter 2, verse 1. Christ encourages you and his love comforts you. God's spirit unites you and you are concerned for others. Now make me completely happy. Live in harmony by showing love for each other. Be united in what you think as if you were only one person. Don't be jealous or proud, but be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourselves. There's so much in these four verses that we could pull out, but in just the few minutes that we have, let me talk about two things. First, to realize that we are all important to God, that we are all one in Christ, that God made us all, and that God loves us all. What would it look like if we really did live like we believe that? Like every one of us was important to God. Would that change anything? Listen to the beginning of the story of humanity. Listen to the beginning of our story in the book of Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all of the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You and I, we were created in the image of God. We bear God's likeness. God breathed his life into us. We bear the imprint of God. We carry God's spirit in us. And this is unique in all of creation. This window reminds us of that every week when we come here. That in all of creation, nothing else was created in God's image. Nothing but people. Humans alone, the scripture tells us, were created in the image of God. And they are his prized possession. They are treasured to God. How important are we to God? Listen to what Ephesians 1 verse 4 says. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, and he settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Even before the foundations of the earth were laid, God wanted to have a people who he could love, who he could lavish his love upon. You and I are made to receive God's love and to live in light of it, to return God's love and to share it with the world. We were made in God's image. Now, what would it look like if we really did live like we believed it? How would we think about ourselves, for example, if we really did believe that we were this precious to God, that God created us in his image and created us human beings to be the focus of his love? And then how would it look if you and I believed that that were true about every other person in the world as well? That just not you and me, just not people I like or people like me were created in God's image. But what if we believed that every person, every human being is created in the image of God? Would that change anything? Would it change how we look at people? who are different than us? Would it change what we thought about people? Would it change how we talked to people or how we treated people who we consider to be beneath us? What if we believed, what if you really did believe that President Trump was created in the image of God? What if you really did believe that Hillary Clinton was created in the image of God? Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Sean Hannity, Rachel Maddow, John Calipari, Rick Pitino. I guess we ought to stop before we get too far in. Let me simplify things. You and I will never lock our eyes on a single person. Not today, not tomorrow, not this week, this month, this year, not in this lifetime, who was not created in the image of God. And who's not important to God. Who is not deeply loved by God the same way that you are deeply loved by God. And every person you and I see matters that much to God. To honor someone is to recognize that in them. That they are very special, they are unique, one of a kind creations of God. That we are not mass produced, but that God creates every one of us uniquely. Why is this differently? But we are all created to be loved by God and to share God's love. Now that doesn't mean that we can't disagree. Paul tells us to live in harmony, but that doesn't mean that we can't disagree with one another. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of weeks. But even in our disagreements, we're going to talk in a couple of weeks about how we can disagree with one another. But even as we disagree, we recognize that the person with whom we have an issue is precious to God. And because they have great value to God, then they should also have great value to us. That this is part of God's hope and God's plan for our world. Paul tells us to live in harmony by showing love to each other. In verses 3 and 4, he wrote, don't be jealous or proud, but to be humble and consider others more important than yourselves. Care about them as much as you care about yourself. And that's what honor is about. To honor someone means to lift them up, not to take them for granted. Honor requires humility. It takes patience. It requires perseverance. And in the world in which Paul was living and Paul wrote these words, it was taken for granted that you look out for yourself first. And then if you can also care for people, do it, but not if it costs you something. You take care of yourself first, and only a fool would put someone else's concerns above their own. And so what Paul is writing here to the church at Philippi is a countercultural message. To live in unity, to live in harmony with one another, is to put the needs of others even before our own, to humble ourselves. Now, this is an idea that originates with Paul. In fact, starting in verse 5, and we're not going to read that, we don't have time to get into, beginning in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2, he's going to talk about Christ, who had everything. He had all of the glory of heaven. Surrounded by angels who sang to him day and night. And he left it all. He left all of the privileges and the glory of heaven to come to earth. And not come as a powerful, wealthy king. But to come as a servant. To come as a nobody. To come as an average person. And was willing to lay down his rights and to submit himself even when that meant to the cross. That he gave up his rights and his life, laying down what was best for him for what was best for us. And so Paul tells us to imitate him. Now, humility doesn't mean that we put ourselves down. It's not a sense of false humility. Humility doesn't even mean that we think less of ourselves. It just probably means that we think of ourselves less often. And we begin thinking of other people as well. Honor one another. That's the advice Paul gave to the people at Philippi who were living in a challenging culture. a place of tension and conflict, even in the church. And it's the same encouragement that he would offer today to people who are living in challenging culture and living in a time of difficulty and conflict. Realize that God loves you. Realize that you are of great value to God. That God loved you so much that Jesus Christ came to give his life for you. And this is where our security comes from. When we realize that we don't have to earn God's love, and we're not going to lose it either. That God could not love you any more than God already does, and by God's grace, he will never love you less. That God loves you just because you are, just because you're precious to him and you are his treasure. And then what's true of you, recognize that that's true of everyone else as well. That God doesn't just love you. God loves the world. And every person you see, they too are made in God's image and deeply precious to God. And then humble yourself. Put the needs of others ahead of your own desires. And if we could do that, if we could move in that direction, it could be transforming. Not just in our lives, but eventually in our world. And we could become a people united in honor. Let's pray together. God, what an amazing thing it is that you love us. How great the Father's love is that we would be called his children. And God, what a dysfunctional family you have with a bunch of kids like us. And yet, far from writing us off, you keep pursuing us, God. You keep calling us to understand who we are in you. To live in love with you. To return your love and to share it with the people around us. Help us to be willing to see in others their great worth. Not because of what they have or what they do for a living, because they were created in your image. They have your imprint on their lives. Help us to see their worth, to understand their intrinsic value. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
You are my child, and I am your father. Spend time with me, my sons and daughters. I whisper I love you, and it rings forever. Drink of my love, 'cause nothing is better. And I sing and dance when I'm thinking of you, and I'm always thinking of you. And you'll sing and dance when you do. Sons and
listening to Experiencing God's Love, a ministry of St. Matthew's Baptist Church. This morning, you may have reached a decision concerning your personal relationship with God, or you may want to find spiritual guidance for your life. Contact us this week at 502-896-8882 or online at smbclouisville.org. St. Matthew's Baptist Church is conveniently located between Breckenridge and Cannons Lanes at 3515 Grandview Avenue. Join us for worship in person this morning. Bible study for all ages starts at 9:15 and worship in the sanctuary at 10:30. If that's not possible, then join us here next week at 7 for Experiencing God's Love from St. Matthew's Baptist Church, where we're loving and leading people into a growing relationship with God.